Amen. We'll finish off with number 17. Paul was there for me, very carefully watching over me, twice over.
Well, good evening and welcome. And I'd just like to welcome all this evening. And if you're a visitor with us, we give you a special welcome and thank you for making the effort to come out on a nice evening such as this. All of those that are joining us by way of sermon audio over the internet, we make you again a special welcome. And we also welcome our soloist this evening, Brother Michael Piper. Good to see Michael again. And he's been here in the past. We've enjoyed his ministry in the past. And we look forward to hearing Michael shortly. The following are the necessary announcements. Thursday evening, midweek, prayer meeting at 8 p.m. Meetings next Lord's Day, 11 a.m. in the morning, 7 p.m. in the evening, when the preacher for both meetings next Lord's Day will be our own pastor, who will be back with us next Lord's Day. Please also remember that next Lord's Day evening, we intend to hold a baptismal service. And if you would like to be included go through the waters of baptism in keeping with the Lord's command, well then, will you please speak to the pastor or any of the elders as soon as possible that that can be arranged. So that's next Lord's Day evening, 7 p.m. will take the form of a baptismal meeting. All announcements, of course, are made subject to the Lord's will. Now, our opening hymn this evening, all hymns are from the hymns of the Praise and Hymn Book. And our opening hymn is number 37. Hymn number 37. Blessed be the fountain of blood to a world of sinners revealed. Blessed be the dear Son of God. Only by his stripes are we healed. Will you stand to sing, please? Hymn number 37. But shall we bow in prayer, please, and seek the Lord's blessing on the preaching of the gospel this evening? Shall we pray? Our God and Heavenly Father, in the precious, worthy name of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we bow again ourselves humbly and reverently at Thy feet another time. Our Father, we thank Thee this evening that we can draw nigh unto Thee. And our Father, we thank Thee that we come in that name that is above every other name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for the new and living way opened up for us. And our Father, we bow ourselves humbly and low at Thy feet again this evening. And we thank Thee for the marvellous truth that we've just been singing. Blessed be that fountain of blood. Our Father, we thank Thee this evening for the gospel message that we heard in our own life's experience. Our Father, we thank Thee for its life-giving qualities and soul-cleansing qualities. Our Father, we thank Thee for the gospel tonight. The old prophet said, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Our Father, we thank Thee this evening that we have a day of grace and opportunity where we can tell out the glad tidings of the gospel again. And our Father, we pray for every head bowed in Thy presence tonight. Thou knowest each and every one. Thou knowest where we come from. Thou knowest where we are right now and how we feel and what we are thinking. Our Father, we pray for the need of many in our gathering tonight. We pray for those who as yet do not know Thee as Savior and Lord. Our Father, we pray this evening that there will be something in Thy word or in the hymns that we sing this evening, or in the pieces that Michael will sing. Our Father, we pray that there will be something said tonight that will stir and cause that anxious thought in the heart and mind of some, causing them to seek Thee for salvation while it is yet possible and while Thou art yet near. Our Father, we pray to this end. Bless Michael as he comes to sing. Our Father, we pray he know that help from Thyself. Our Father, we pray this evening the responsibility that's ours to tell out again as best we can the sweet strains of the gospel. Our Father, we pray for help tonight to make the message clear and plain that Christ is saveth sinful men. Our Father, we pray for our own pastor tonight in Saintfield. We pray for George and Kilkeel and all others that we know and are interested in. And our Father, we pray for all tonight who will stand before company such as this. Open up Thy word and preach Christ and Him crucified as the only means of salvation. We pray that Thou bless the gospel proclaimed this evening across our province. We pray this might indeed be a great night in the lives of many when they turn and seek Thee and trust Thee as Savior and Lord. Our Father, to this end we pray. We pray that Thou presence Thyself with us, that we know the blessing of God in a very real way this evening. For we ask all in our Saviour's most worthy and precious name. Amen. And Michael will come and bring us first piece or a couple of pieces, please. Thank you.
Good evening, everybody. It's lovely to be in your fellowship this evening to sing of my Saviour, Jesus Christ. And I want to give Him all the praise, the honour, and the glory. Normally when I go to sing, the attendances, unfortunately, are few. And when I look down and I see the size of the congregation, it makes me extremely nervous. But let's hope the Lord will help me. Let's hope that the pieces that He has directed me to during the course of the day will be a blessing to somebody. And hopefully somebody will find the Saviour this evening. The first piece I'm going to sing is entitled, "He Will Carry You." There is no problem too big God cannot solve it. There is no mountain too tall, He cannot move it. There is no storm too dark, God cannot calm it.
There is no sorrow today. He cannot stand it. And if He carried the weight of the world upon His shoulders, I know, my brother, that He will carry yours. And if He carried the weight of the world upon His shoulders, I know, my sister, that He will carry you. He said, come unto me, all who are weary and no problem to bear, God cannot solve it. There is no mountain to tall, He cannot move it. And there is no storm to dawn, God cannot calm it. There is no sorrow today, He cannot serve it. And if He carried the weight of the world upon His shoulders, I know, my brother, that He will carry you. And if He's gonna carry you. Oh, yes, He will. He's gonna carry. He's gonna carry you.
Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are weary and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Friends, what a Savior we have. What a God we love and adore. Yeah? Do we hear an amen? Amen. Good. This second piece that I'm going to sing is all about that Savior and what that Savior did for you and for me on that cross on Calvary. Friends, He took our sin and He shed it all on the cross. He shed His precious blood. And you know, that's our passport to heaven, by accepting Christ and being washed in that precious blood. So this second piece is entitled, The Day He Wore My Crown. Amen.
City was Jerusalem. Time was long ago. The people called Him Jesus. The cry was the love. I'm the one to blame. I caused all the pain. He gave himself the day he wore my crown. But we love that only he could give. I brought him cause to cry. And though he taught me how to live, I taught him how to die. I'm the one to blame. I caused all the pain. He gave himself the day he wore my crown. He could have called his holy father and said, take me away, please take me away. He could have said, I'm not guilty and I'm not gonna stay. I'm not gonna He walked right through the gate and then up on the hill. And as he fell beneath the weight, he cried, Father, not my will. I'm the one to blame. I caused all the pain. He gave instead the day he wore my all this pain. He gave himself the day he wore my crown. The day he wore.
Our next hymn is 293. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. I love that old cross for the dearest and best, for a world of lost sinners was slain. 293 again, we stand to sing. then Michael will come and bring us finally peace. Thank you.
In the Word of God, we read where Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." picked the next little thing up on Facebook one day and I thought it was really good. I'm going to share it with you. Hell is still hot. Heaven is still real. Sin is still wrong. The Bible is still God's word. And Jesus is the only one who can save us from our sins. And he's the only way to heaven. If anybody is outside Christ here this evening, I hope you listen to that carefully. He's the only way to heaven. My final piece this evening is entitled, Come As You Are.
Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come broken hearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, O sinner, come near. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't hear. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't hear. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. O wanderer, come home, you're not to fall. Lay down your heart, lay down your heart, come as you are. There's hope for the helpless and all those who've strayed. Sit at the table, come taste the grace. There's rest for the weary, rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can cure. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, up your face. O wanderer, come home, you're not to fall. So lay down your heart, lay down your heart, come as you are, come as you are. Be still. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are lay down your
Thanks again to Michael for his ministry and song this evening. I want to read two verses tonight from the prophecy of Isaiah and chapter 21. Isaiah chapter 21. The pastor, when he was in the Bible class, he talked about the prophecy of Isaiah, and he noted the structure being similar to that of our Bible. He talked about Isaiah being the Bible in miniature. 66 chapters, and we have 66 books in our Bible, and then he said how 39 chapters form one section and 27 chapters form the other section, and of those chapters, 40 to 66, the several chapters, 53, how that compares so well with our New Testament. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he moved into the minor prophets, and he used to talk about the clean pages of our Bible. And I think Isaiah, in that section that corresponds, or is like the Old Testament, I think Isaiah has clean pages as well. And we're reading from clean pages of Isaiah tonight. I haven't heard much preaching from those chapters 13 through to 23, those 11 chapters in Isaiah. We're reading two verses tonight, Isaiah 21 and verse 11. the burden of Juma. He calleth to me out of Seir, watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? The watchman said, the morning cometh, and also the night. If ye will inquire ye, return, come. We'll read them again. The burden of Juma. He calleth to me out of Seir, watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? And the watchman said, the morning cometh, and also the night. If ye will inquire ye, return, come. That's all I wish to read, and we pray the Lord will bless the reading of Holy Scriptures again this evening. I'm sort of not taking my own advice tonight, in that I always believe in making the gospel as simple as possible, and I know I'm reading from an obscure verse, two obscure verses tonight, not so well known. And I have looked and thought about this meeting and looked in the gospels and thought it would be better to go to the New Testament. But I keep coming back to these three verses, and I couldn't get beyond them, to be honest. And so let me explain, if I can, just what I believe these two verses are saying. The scene, if I may set a scene, it would be this, that the prophet is the watchman. We read in the prophecy of Ezekiel, he's also given the title of being a watchman. And further up the chapter, Isaiah is described as the watchman. And the watchman would patrol the city walls, or he would sit in the watchtower and he would look out. And he would watch for an advancing enemy in the lands in those days. And Isaiah is looking out over a land. And the picture is that he's looking out as a watchman and he can see a land. And it's called the land of Edom, E-D-O-M. And as he looks out over this land, he has a prophecy concerning Edom. And the prophecy is this, he says, the burden of Juma. And you may be asking, what does that mean? I certainly wondered, what's all that about? The burden of Juma. This word burden, I once heard it illustrated like this. In olden days, when back a generation or two, people You would have seen a woman leave the home, and maybe in the late afternoon. She would have took a walk in the country road or country lanes. And then you would see her returning. And people would look and say, here she comes with her burden of sticks. And the woman would have gathered a few twigs and sticks to light the fire in the evening. And the old timers referred to it as a burden of sticks. We would talk about a bag of fire lighters maybe today. A burden of sticks. When the Old Testament prophets talked about a burden, it was a burden of truth. And it was something that they carried, and it was something that came from God. It was the Word of God. In Zechariah and Malachi, we have a little phrase there, the burden of the Word of the Lord concerning a certain place. So this is a prophecy. This prophet looks out and he says, concerning the land of Edom, he says the burden of Juma. And he meant Edom, which calleth to me out of Seir. Now Seir and Edom are the same place. It would be a bit probably like me reading tonight, the burden of Lurgan, he calleth to me out of Mid-Ulster. You just know that you're talking about the same area and the same place. Edom was known as Seir before it was called Edom. And the prophecy is this, the burden of Juma. And what does it mean? Well, those that are expert in the original language, the Hebrew language, would say that the prophet just made a play on the word. We call it an anagram, just moving the letters around in the word. And Edom, that was spelled A-D-O-M, he put the A behind it and he made it Juma. And Juma means silence, silent or stillness. And the prophecy concerning this land of Edom is that Edom will be silent. If you were in the Bible class some months back, the pastor, when he went through with us the book of the prophecy of Obadiah, it was all about Edom. And the details of the prophecy are, and what happens in the events that take place, it's all there. This nation were hostile. This nation were anti-God and anti-God's people. When the children of Israel left Egypt and they made their way to the promised land, they had to detour past Edom. They wouldn't allow them through. To give you the Dennis Lyle analysis, he said Edom encouraged Judah's foes. And Edom enjoyed Judah's fall. And Edom enslaved Judah's fugitives because they sided with the other nations against the land of Israel and Judah. And God pronounces the judgment. And he said, Edom will be silenced. God will move against Edom. And the Edom will be silenced. Genesis 36 tells us that the Edomites were the descendants of Esau. Esau was a man who sold his birthright. He wasn't interested in spiritual things. He was only interested in fleshly things. He lived for the moment. He came in hungry one day. And he sold his birthright for the mess of pottage. Edomites. God says, I'm going to move against Edom. The burden of Juma. Edom will be silenced. One day, I'm calling this. When I read that a couple of weeks back, I couldn't help but think, you know, we see here the anguish the prophet felt. It wasn't easy to make pronouncements, you know. The Old Testament prophets maybe wept as they made their predictions and prophecies concerning particularly their own nation, how that God will move against them. And maybe how they'll be taken into captivity. And how that a city will be destroyed. And it wasn't easy to stand up and tell out a message like that. The anguish the prophet felt. There was a time, some years back, when I thought I felt and I learned something like that experience. I had a funeral to take 7-8 years ago of a man who didn't go to church. You can imagine that wasn't easy. Where do you start or what do you say? No church connection, and they couldn't ask any minister because they didn't know any church minister well enough. So through family connection, they wanted somebody to speak at the funeral. And I was standing in the... After we left the home and went to Lurgan Cemetery, I didn't follow the funeral because I wanted to make sure I was there and didn't get held up. So I'm standing in the middle of Lurgan Cemetery. And those of you that would know Lurgan Cemetery, it rises up as you go in through the gates to the right-hand side. This man's standing there, he's looking out at a land called Edom. I stood that day. It's wonderful what might pass through your mind in a few moments. I stood at the grave. A couple of three, not too many around the graveside. We were waiting for the others to come. And in that few minutes, I'm looking out at the town of Lurgan. See Lurgan in the skyline. And I noticed Lurgan Hospital was over here. I had been there last week. Week just before. To visit a man that taught me in Sunday school. And I looked at Union Street and I thought of Sunday school days. And I knew he hadn't long to live, and I thought of that visit, and I'm standing there and I'm thinking to myself, if it wasn't for that man or men like him, I probably wouldn't be here today when I'm standing here at this graveside. Asked to speak at this graveside. That was one thought. Junior high school was over here. And I'm thinking now of school days. And I'm thinking of this time of year, the athletics track. Thinking of house competition, the basketball team and the football team. Great time. There's football pitches to my right, Monbrief. The playing fields to my left, Tignavin trained over there as well. I'm looking straight down now at the Gordon playing fields. And then I can see Moonby Park. I'm thinking of all the pitches that I played on in my days about Lurgan. And then I'm thinking, I've run all the fields about Lurgan. I thought of Lurgan Park, and then the wee park down by Victoria Street. The best games were played down there. Then I thought of the fields around home, and we played in fields and run off the cattle and made hay and things like that. And so much of my life seemed to be associated around fields. Then I'm standing in this field. But a different field now. And that's the way my mind's been working. And the crowd has gathered round. What a vast sea of faces. I'm a Lurgan man. I was looking out over my hometown. And somebody said there was upwards of 200 men, mainly men, gathered around this grave. To my surprise, I knew very, very few. You see, the Royal British Legion Club men were there. And the Glenavon men were there. And the cricket club men were there, and the golf club, the captain of the golf club was there with his green blazer and the captain's badge and all in the grave. The Institute men were there. And the Windsor Club men were there. And there's this vast variety of company of men. I tell you, I felt, I think, something of the anguish of the prophet. I'm not going to like what I'm going to say to these men. Kind of intimidating. Not too many heads going to bob in agreement. No. These men have chosen a different lifestyle. I took a deep breath. And I opened up my Bible. I could have quoted it, but I just wanted to let them see I'm reading from the Word of God. Amos 4 and 12. Says, prepare to meet thy God. With all the things that you live for, When there comes a day when you stand before God, they'll all look very trivial. They'll tell you it'll not matter who won the Gold Cup or the Grand National, who won Cheltenham, or who won the Premier League or the Champions League. Not matter. All those things will be very trivial. All the things that men occupy their lives about. Aye, great night at the Stew. Great night in the Winter Club. Band played. He sang. Aye, but it's over. And right now where we are standing, it's silent here. Edom will be silent. What a match it was. What a weekend it was. We cheered and we shouted and we sang the whole way home in the bus, but there's no singing now. It's silent where we are right now. Edom, says the psalm, says the prophet, will be silent. Aye, and so it is. The orange men were there. You could walk all the streets of Ulster and whistle the tunes with the band. But who whistling now when you come to this field? It's silent here. The burden of Juma, what is it? Edom will be silent. Aye, and then what? All your friends and all your partying and all your buddies and all those things that you lived your life for count for nothing. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. He'd have prepared to meet God. Day coming, and your voice will be silent. And then what? The burden of Juma. He calleth the mere of Seir, same land. Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? You see here the anguish that the prophet felt. There's a day of silence coming. It all comes to an end someday. And that was sure of Edom. And it didn't happen to Edom. Edom today is known as Jordan. The land of Edom's gone. The Babylonians moved against Edom and destroyed it. Edom is silent. The anguish of the prophet felt, a day of silence. Then you'll notice the answer the prophet gave, because someone calls out of Seir, someone calls from Edom. He says, watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? There seems to be an urgency in that. They reckon, in keeping with the history of the province of Edom, the land of Edom, the Assyrians were coming. Watchman, what of the night? The enemy's coming. And the answer is a curious one. The answer is, the morning cometh, and also the night. It would seem that the Assyrians, they came, but they were pushed back by Judah. So they didn't take Judah and they didn't take Edom. But a little later, the Babylonians came and overruled and overran them. So there seems to be, one of the night, there seemed to be a period of respite. The morning cometh. And also the night. But then the night did come. The answer the prophet gave, help was on the way, but it didn't last for long. What of the night? What of the night? I don't think there's too many could argue with me this evening that the days in which we live are dark. We live in a day of tremendous moral decline. I tell you, darkness is setting in at a tremendous rate. It's dark. It's night. The truth is, it's going to get worse. This sequence, dark, morning, dark. This sequence, you know, made me think of the Lord Jesus Christ. Made me think of a night when he agonized in the Garden of Gethsemane. It was dark. Lovely hymn that we sing, "Deep were thy sorrows, Lord, when heaven frowned." Gethsemane. Blood like thy sweat, Lord, falling to the ground so heavily. Dark was the night. Heaven was darker still. O Christ, my God, is this the Father's will? The Savior agonized in the Garden of Gethsemane. What a dark, long night it was. As the cross loomed, he knew he was going to Calvary. But he prayed, "Oh, if there was any other way. Father, if I be willing, remove this cup from me." But nevertheless, what a nevertheless that is. "Nevertheless, not my will but thine be done." The Savior was going through. Mother Ransom never knew. How dark were the waters crossed, or how dark was the night the Lord passed through. Ere he found his sheep that was lost. Aye, and it became morning. Morning came. It was the morning when they took him out to Calvary's brow, nailed him to a cross, lifted up was he to die. And then morning turned into night, day turned into night. Darkness engulfed that scene in the middle of the day when the Savior died. And darkness closed him in. And the wrath of God that was our due upon the Lamb was laid. And by the shedding of his blood, the debt for us is paid. And the Lord Jesus Christ bears our sins in his own body on the tree. The sequence for the Savior. Dark was the night. The day came when he gave himself a ransom for all. They sent a cross to the place called Calvary. Aye, and the day turned into night again. Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? And the watchman says, "The morning comes, and also the night." You know there's a morning coming. The Lord's coming. The Lord's return. What's the great event, next great event prophesied concerning our time is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to the air. Jesus is coming again. What a day that will be. There's some lovely hymns concerning the Lord's return. Jesus is coming. The saints shall arise. Loved ones shall meet in a joyful surprise. Caught up together with him in the skies. Jesus is coming again. One more night. "Behold, I show you a mystery," says Paul. "We not all sleep. We'll all be changed in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the cloud. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." What a morning. The anguish the prophet felt. Day of silence. Edom will be silent. The answer the prophet gave reminds me of a day of surprise, a day of suddenness. Morning's coming. When God looked down and pronounced judgment in the days of Noah, he said to Noah that God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. I don't think we live in a day like that yet. What's it going to be when the people of God are removed? All the influence for good that God's people have in this earth today, what sort of a world is it going to be then when God's people have been caught up to glory? I tell you, we'll soon be in the day where every imagination, the thoughts of his heart are only evil continually. You read, lift and pick up any daily newspaper. My goodness, the imagination of men's hearts. Evil continually. These are nothing else, only thought. Rubbish. Going to get worse. It's night. Ah, it's dark now. The morning's coming. It'll be darker then. The days of great tribulation come upon this earth. It's dark. It's late. We're in the last days. Perilous times shall come. We're in the days of Laodicea. The Savior says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." Once heard a man make the point at supper time. That's how late it is. That's how late in the day it is. It's night. It's dark. It's late. It's supper time. The Lord's coming. I was reading a commentary one day. Very good commentary on one of the books of the Bible. And I realized then, when I noticed who the writer of the commentary was, that I had heard him 25, maybe more years ago, when he told how God saved him. And he told how he went home from a meeting one night with these words burning in his ears, "The Lord's coming, and I'm not saved yet. The Lord's coming and I'm not saved yet." And he couldn't get those words out of his head. "The Lord's return is near and I'm not saved yet." And he couldn't find any rest or peace until he sought the Lord for salvation. And here he was so many years on, and he wrote a marvelous Bible commentary. In these verses I see the answer, the anguish the prophet felt. He was predicting the day when Edom would be silent. Our voices will be silent one day. A day of silence. The answer the prophet gave reminds me of a day of sudden surprise. We used to sing in our days in Sunday school, "Two shall be together grinding at the mill. Two shall be together sleeping calm and still. One shall be taken, the other left behind. Say, will you be ready when Jesus comes?" I like this bit. Did you notice how our verse ended? "If ye will inquire," says the prophet, "if ye will inquire, inquire ye, return, come." Just as the Isaiah's prophecy is concise and succinct, he just says the burden of Juma. And in that he just says what Obadiah says in 21 verses, or what Ezekiel says, and I think 6 or 7 verses, or what Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 49, I think it's 16 verses. And the prophet just says, the burden of Juma, Edom will be silent. When you come to the end of what he says, he's equally crisp and concise. He says there's a better inquiry to make. If ye will inquire, inquire. Don't be inquiring really about the night. Something better to inquire about. If ye will inquire, inquire. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, do you know why you're not saved? You've never inquired. If ye will, ah, but you won't. Up to now you haven't. If ye will inquire, inquire. Inquire ye. In Isaiah 55, the prophet develops that a bit more. Only instead of the word inquire, he uses the word seek. Instead of saying inquire ye, he says seek ye. Verse 6, Isaiah 55. He says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. And call ye upon him while he is near. Inquire. Then he says, return. Just one word, return. That word means turn back. In other scriptures in our Bible, the word is translated repent. I think he further develops that idea in Isaiah 55 in the 7th verse. In the 7th verse of Isaiah 55, he says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return, there's our word, unto the Lord. For he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Well, that's the gospel. That's the way of salvation. You need to return, you need to repent. And he says, come. The last word. Come. That's the great word of invitation. Isaiah 55 again. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Ah, to those that are thirsty and to those that are hungry and to those that are bankrupt. Free salvation. Jesus has paid it all. Nothing required of us to do. Just to turn. Just repent. Just accept that we're nothing but a hell-deserving, guilty sinner in the sight of a holy God. The prophet says, if you will inquire, inquire. Ah, but return, repent, and come. In Acts 16, I was thinking that we find there a man. My, he did it, didn't he? I was thinking of the Philippian jailer. He called for a light. He sprang in. He came trembling. He fell down. He did it all. I tell you, there was an urgency and an earnestness about him. He came. He called. He sprang in. He's trembling. He falls down. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? That's the inquiry to make. What must I do to be saved? That's all that matters. All that matters in life. Two different types of people here this evening. Those that are saved. Those that are lost. Those that are saved and those that are still in their sins. Those that are on the road to heaven. Those that are on the broad road. Taking them down to a lost eternity. Those that are ready to meet the Lord in the air. And those that will be left. That's the difference this evening. The burden of Juma. Anguish the prophet felt. Morning cometh. Answer the prophet gave. What a day. The appeal the prophet makes, if you will inquire. A day of stillness, a day of silence. A day of sudden surprise. Savior's coming. Could happen in a moment. Twinkling on a day of salvation. If you will inquire. inquire ye, return, come. The burden of Juma. He calleth in the yard of Seir, watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? The watchman said, the morning cometh, and also the night. If ye will inquire, inquire ye, return, come. We're singing in closing tonight. We're singing and closing a lovely hymn, 294. On that bright and golden morning, when the Son of Man shall come, and the radiance of His glory we shall see, when from every clime and nation He shall call His people home. What a gathering of the ransomed that will be. We'll stand to sing 294. Thank you. Again, at the close of our meeting, we pray for every head bowed in thy presence. Our Father, we pray that should there be any still not saved, that they will indeed seek the Lord while he may be found, calling upon him while he is yet near. Our Father, we thank thee for the glorious truth that we have just been singing of a soon coming Savior. And our Father, we pray that many will be wise and be ready for the meet the one that's coming and coming soon. Our Father, we thank thee for thy goodness to us another Lord's Day. As we take our leave of this place, our Father, we pray thou bless each and every one. Take us all to our homes in safety. Be with us, take care of us, till we meet again. For we ask all in our Saviour's most worthy and precious name. Amen.